My name is Christian. And today I want to be talking about how gratitude is a grace. This is the Most High Show. We are part of Most High Media, Most High Ministries. And if we ever make tacos, it's going to be Most High Tacos. And the purpose of this ministry, this media mission, is to educate, to inform, to hopefully help people not feel alone in their struggle, in their fight, in their journey with addiction recovery and mental illness, ending the stigma on all that, and ending the stigma on God. So today we're talking about gratitude as a grace. Once again, my name is Christian, and I'll be your guide. Hopefully no one dies. Gratitude is a grace. Now, before we get to gratitude, I want to break down grace. Why I say gratitude is a grace. So when I say the word grace, what I mean is a divine grace. And a divine grace is divine influences, or a divine influence, a power greater than yourself influencing, and it operates in humans, that would be you and me, to regenerate and to sanctify. So let's stop right there. Sanctify. That's a religious word. You've probably heard that word used by people. So let me just kind of clarify. Sanctify. And I think the layman's term of that would be to make whole. To become a whole, complete human. Divinity and humanity existing in one. Common trait for this wholeness is congruency. Oh, what's congruency? I'm glad you asked. Congruency is when what you think, what you say, how you feel, and how you act is all in alignment. That's all in alignment. You're congruent. A lot of us exist in this place, specifically addicts, where at some point in time, the world just didn't make sense anymore. Or perhaps maybe we knew something about the world and the way things are that everybody else didn't seem to see. There was something that we knew. And so there was this illusion of separation. And so a lot of us are in our heads. We're thinking certain things. But then in attempts to fit in, and in attempts to be accepted, in attempts to pretend that everything is okay, we say something totally different than what we're thinking. And then we feel something totally different than what we say, because we know in our hearts that this reality is not the way everyone else thinks it is. And so, but we're playing along. We're going to play along. And when I put this thing in my body, this drink, this drug, this person, I start to get a little bit more in tune with this illusion. And then we act according to what we think people need us to act like. We become who we think everybody wants us to be. And we put on these personas. Meanwhile, the way we think and the way we feel is not incongruent with our actions and the things that we say. And so the alcoholic, the addict, dives deeper within themselves and retreats further within themselves. And if you continue on this road of addiction, you might find yourself doing things that compromise you even further. And then there comes shame and regret and pain. And we dive deeper within ourselves. Now, how we think and how we feel is no way, shape, or form representative to what we say and how we act. We are not in congruence. We are not whole. And so it takes time. It takes a journey for those of us who are addicts and alcoholic to get back into alignment, to become congruent again. For me, that's a journey through the 12 steps. That's admitting that I'm powerless. Admitting that, yes, I never really liked this reality. I never really accepted this reality. And in doing so, I am powerless. But there is something greater than me that can restore me to sanity. And there is a process set forth where I can go through the wreckage of my past. And not just go through it, I can write it down. And not just write it down, but I can tell it to another person. And through that process, I can find some certain things about myself. Actions, thoughts, feelings, things that I may say that aren't congruent, that aren't in alignment to who this new person is becoming. I'm becoming who I am. Becoming who I already am. That person inside that had retreated for years and years and hid behind the persona, behind the addiction, behind the ethereal effects of drugs. And through this process, I become more congruent. I begin to be honest. I begin to say what I think. I begin to say how I feel. And that might cause conflict in my life. Because the people who I was once around, who so much loved that persona, they're no longer enamored with us. Because we start becoming who we are. And what do you know? Something shifts. You know, they say the only thing that has to change is everything. So this process of sanctification, this process of being made whole, this process of becoming congruent, where what I think, what I say, how I feel, and how I act is all in alignment. That I don't do something that I think is wrong anymore. Or if I do, I quickly admit it and make reconciliation and move on. Congruency is this is a continual process. This is progress, not perfection. This is something that's going to take time, and it's going to take a power greater than myself to get me to a place of congruency. And the longer I stay in it, the longer I do the work, the more congruent I become, the less things become out of alignment, the more whole I become. And watch out, because the more I get to accept myself. And that's dangerous. Once you start saying what you really think, how you really feel. And this is why community is so important in recovery, in any spiritual progress, in any spiritual situation. Community is important because we need to have ourselves reflected back to us. And when you do that and you're completely honest and transparent and open with another person and they reflect back to you love and acceptance and tolerance and they say that's okay for you to be the way you are, for you to be who you are. Hold up. You mean you used to retreat too? You mean reality didn't sit well with you either? You mean when you were young, you looked at the world and you knew something everyone else didn't know? Where were you when I was a kid? This acceptance, this love, this authentic community, a spiritual community of people coming together, accepting each other, loving each other, forgiving each other. Yeah. We need that to become and stay congruent. You might go find God on an island, but it's not going to be much fun. So that's what I mean by a grace, a power greater than myself entering into and becoming a co-mingler with me through my own process of wholeness. Now, let's go to the word gratitude, because gratitude is a grace. The reason why I say gratitude is a grace, because I know I should be grateful. I should be grateful because I have three toilets in my house and I got one ass. Now I got five other people living with me, so having three toilets is pretty good. You know, I have a roof over my head. I have food. I haven't gone without a meal. I haven't had to miss bills and rent. So I have plenty to be grateful. I am sober. I am still married. I have three healthy children. I have so much to be grateful for. Yet I cannot seem to muster up gratitude out of the air. Write a gratitude list. I hate that. People say that. What you really need to do is write a gratitude list. Yeah. You know why I hate that? Because it's so simple. And I'm not simple. I'm complex. I'm unique. But even in that writing the gratitude list, you might not come out of that list feeling grateful. There's a term that's called negativity bias, and that's inherent to the human experience. As a human, my brain has a predisposition, has a wiring mechanism that is wired to quickly imprint negative experiences. Now, a lot of that is nature. If you and I are walking down a mountain and we run into a den of wolves, right? We want that to be imprinted in our brain very quickly that, hey, there's a den of wolves down on that side of the mountain, so maybe don't go down there. It's a survival mechanism. And when I touched this, when I was a kid, we used to have this furnace that was in the ground. That was the heater for the house. It was on the ground. We had hardwood floors, and this furnace was on the ground. And so when we were using the heater, the grate of the furnace on the ground would get very hot. And as a baby, how my parents made sure I knew that this shit was hot was they took my hand and made me touch the grate. And then my fingers burned off and I caught into flames and I became a demon. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't that hot, but it was just to show me, right? And that was an imprint. Oh, that's hot. You mess around early in the morning walking around with your cold feet and you step on one of them grapes, man, boy, it leave a mark. So this negativity bias is immediately, okay, that's hot, don't touch that. It's inherent. So you and I can go through our day, right? We can have a pretty good day, right? No one we know died. You know the odds of that happening are kind of crazy. How many people die every day? So if you live a day and no one you know dies, well, that's most certainly something to be grateful for. Yet that won't imprint in your brain. You can look into your child's eyes and the beauty and the majesty and the miracle in of life in a baby's eyes, right? Even if it ain't your own child, you can look at a little baby and be like, there's something going on here, right? This cycle of life. I was once a baby and I forgot. We can have these positive things that happen in our life throughout a day, right? I can get emails from listeners who say, you know, thank you for what you're doing, and I've listened to all of your spiritual development category, and it's really helped me, and now I'm going to counseling, and now I'm getting the help I need. And I can read that email and be like, oh, cool, that's good. That's encouraging. That's good to know what we're doing is working, you know? Or I can hear from someone who said, oh, I saw a clip of what you did and you posted it on social media, and that in turn gave me the motivation to join a meeting and to get to work in the steps, and to now I'm starting to begin to become congruent, and that our content was helpful, right? Yet those positive interactions, looking into your animal's eyes, your dog's eyes, right? These divine moments, really, when what you've done has interacted with somebody thousands of miles away. Yet I can get an email that says, or a phone call, or a text that says, hey, you didn't do this, you didn't do that right. Or I can receive a piece of criticism from my wife for maybe how I'm handling business or doing something. Yeah, and that will imprint. That will keep me up at night. That thought will lay in bed with me. Right? It's a negative bias. Our brain is naturally wired to hold on to those negative things. And so part of this process of being grateful is a retraining, a rewiring in our brain. So to become congruent, we go through steps. We recognize there's a power greater than ourselves that can restore us to sanity. We clear through the wreckage of our past. We are authentic in a community. We talk to others. We go through this whole thing. And we begin to become more congruent. We begin to align more closely. Or what we think, what we say, how we feel, and how we act is aligned together. But again, this is progress, not perfection. And this is a daily 24-hour increments, right? So some days it's not going as well. So what must I do? What must I do to remain grateful? And if gratitude is a grace, if it is a divine influence that operates in my life to regenerate and make me whole, if gratitude is in fact that, how do I get more of it? How do I begin to live in a place where I am grateful for the things I have? I am grateful for life itself. I got a buddy, a friend of mine, Troy, and when you call him and you ask him, how are you doing today? He says, well, I woke up this morning, my arms are working, my legs are working, my eyes are working, my ears are working, I think I might have a shot today. Simple position of gratitude. Confessing it. Acknowledging it. What a grace. So there are some things that we can do to help us with this. One of the things is praying for gratitude. Specific prayers get specific answers. If you're somebody who's struggling with maintaining a position of gratitude, right? Where you think you know you should be grateful. You may say you're grateful and you may act like you're grateful, but you don't feel grateful. You're not congruent with that. Pray for it. Specific prayers get specific answers. Ask your higher power, can you give me some gratitude today? Grant me some gratitude. Because gratitude is a grace. The next thing is mindful meditation. And I think I would like to go through a mindful meditation right now. And I think it would be good. So I'm going to switch the screen so you don't have to watch me. But there's a, if you're watching this video, right, you might be listening to this as a podcast, but if you're watching it, I'm going to switch over to a kind of video graphic. Okay. A mindful meditation. If you are inclined and in the position to, you're not driving down the freeway at 75 miles an hour. Maybe you pause this and wait till you are in a good position. And I'm just going to ask you to take a seat. Maybe you're sitting cross-legged. Maybe you're sitting in a chair. I'm sitting in a chair, so if you're sitting in a chair, I'm going to ask you to put your feet flat on the ground. I'm going to ask you to straighten up your back. Not too stiff and rigid. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and put your hands, rest them gently on your legs. Feet flat on the floor. Your back is straight, but not rigid. Your eyes are closed, and your hands are resting on your legs. We're going to bring attention to our body. The mind is in the body, and the body is in the chair. The mind is in the body, and the body is in the chair. Bring awareness to your breath. Breathing in through your nose and out through your mouth. Consider your lungs, that they've been working for you day and night, night and day, since you left the womb of your mother. And that first breath you took as a tiny infant child, and your lungs have been doing that for you without thought, without judgment, without question. Even when you sleep, when your mind is dreaming, your lungs are doing just that, working for your good, in and out, creating valuable sustainability for yourself. No matter what your actions are today, no matter how incongruent you are, no matter how terrible you think you are, your lungs are there working for you, for your good. Bring your awareness to your heart, which has been pumping blood through your body. Even when you sleep, when you run, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're mourning, when you're full of joy, when you're full of regret, when you wish things would change, your heart beats, sustaining you, keeping you alive, serving you. With no request, never having to ask it to beat. Keeping your mind focused on your breath, in through the nose, out through your mouth. Acknowledging your heart, working for your good. And next, we'll bring our awareness to our gut. Breaking down and processing our food, water, no matter what you do, no matter who you think you are, no matter what anyone else thinks about you. There you are, your gut working for your good, converting food to energy, processing it, breaking it down. Working for your good, no matter what your own thoughts are, no matter if you ate McDonald's. There it is, working for your good. Your mind in the body, your body in the chair. Bring your awareness back to your breath, in through the nose and out through your mouth, in through your nose and out through your mouth. Slowly, bring your awareness back into the room. Your mind, your body on the chair in the room in the house on the earth. When you're ready, open your eyes. Gratitude is a grace, my friends. If you don't have it, ask for it. Peace and love. Thank you so much for joining. If you've made it this far, please email us, contact@themosthighshow.com. contact@themosthighshow.com. We'd love to hear from you. We've given away most of the books that we had, Spiritual Rebel. But maybe we'll get someone else to give us something to give away. We out.